Hi Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha Jamba conference call. Today's speaker is Sri Krishna Devadasi Mataji. Mataji will speak on the topic of Visual Bhagavad Gita, Mission Chapter. Hare Krishna Mataji, with pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much Mataji for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic. I now hand over the call to you Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna. Thank you so much, Navi Mataji. My dandavat pranams to everyone on the call. Thank you all so much for joining. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So we are reading from Sri Brihad Bhagavatamrita. We are discussing part 1, the story which discusses the journey of Narada Muni in search of the greatest recipient of the Lord's mercy. In our discussion currently, Narada Muni is in Sutala Loka discussing with Prahlad Maharaj. So Narada started off his journey from Prayag, where he met the Prayag Brahmana. From there, he moved on to the southern kingdom, where he met the southern king. Then he went to the abode of Indra, had a very beautiful conversation with Indradev. And from there, he went on to the abode of Brahma. From the abode of Brahma, he went on to the abode of Lord Shiva. Shiva then directed him to go and see Prahlad Maharaj and pointed out that Prahlad Maharaj is the greatest devotee of the Lord. So in our previous session, we saw how Narada glorified Prahlad in so many ways, and we saw how Prahlad very, very respectfully refuted all the praise that Narada offered, and he chose Hanuman as the best devotee and as the devotee worthy of all praise. And he said, Hanuman is the one who has received the greatest mercy of the Lord. So in today's class, we will see the glorification of Hanuman by Prahlad. And we will also see a lot of glorification of Hanuman from Ramayana. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Radhanatha Swaminiti Namine. Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Preshthaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namine. Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschayate Deshatarine. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasadi Gaurabhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Kirim Yat Kripata Maham Vande Shri Gurum Dinatarinam. Vancha Kalpataru Vishcha Kripa Sindhu Vyai Vacha Patitanam Pavne Pyo Vaishnavi Kronam Namaha. All glories to Srila Sanatan Goswami. So, Prahlad Maharaj told Narada Muni that you must go and see Hanuman. Hanuman is actually the greatest devotee of the Lord. And why is he so great? Because he got to spend so many long years of personal service to Ramachandra. I am not doing much, but if you go and see Hanuman, you will realize how wonderful a devotee is. He served Lord Ram for so many years in the mood of his insignificant servant. So we all know that Lord Ramchandra ruled Ayodhya for several years after he was coronated. The Srimad Bhagavatam states in Canto 9, Chapter 11, verses 18 and 36 that Hanuman lived with Lord Ram in Ayodhya for 13,000 years. and he performed uninterrupted services to the Lord as Lord Ram ruled the kingdom. So we can imagine the kind of association that Hanuman got with Lord Ramachandra and the way he must have served the Lord. So Prahlad, very lovingly, he began to glorify Hanuman. He said, "My dear Narada Muni, Hanuman is actually so glorious. And Hanuman, he is the most powerful person. And when he was just a child, when he was just a baby, all the greatest of the demigods, they appeared in front of him and they offered him so many wonderful benedictions. So much so that Hanuman became even immune to old age and death." So there is a story in the Uttarakhanda of Ramayana that describes the childhood exploits of Hanuman. He was a very, very, very sweet child. So once upon a time, in Kishkindha, there was a very great Vanara king by the name Kesari. And his wife was the most celebrated Anjana Devi. So Anjana Devi prayed to have a nice son. And by the mercy of the wind god Vayudev, she was impregnated and she gave birth to Hanuman. So Hanuman was a very, very sweet but a very mischievous kid. And he was always hungry. So once he was very, very, very hungry and he looked up into the sky and he saw the sun. So when he saw the sun, he mistook the sun for a delicious red-colored fruit. So that is what Hanuman thought when he saw the sun. He mistook the sun for a very nice, delicious red fruit and he jumped up into the sky and soared up chasing after the sun. So as he was rising up and he was nearing the sun, the wind god, he saw his little son jumping up and he thought he must give protection to his son. So the wind god saw this and he covered him with a cool breeze to give him protection and prevent him from being scorched by the sun's rays. So it's interesting that incidentally that day was a day of solar eclipse. So we know at the time of solar eclipse, Rahu is scheduled to come and swallow up the sun, or rather you can say cover up the sun. So Rahu, he came there right on time to go and cover the sun. But then as he was going there to do his service, he saw little Hanuman flying and coming in his way, trying to go towards the sun. So seeing this, Rahu got very scared. He got really, really scared and he ran away from there and he went and reported this incident to Indra. So he went and told Indra, "What is this? At this time, I am supposed to go and I am supposed to go and cover the sun. This time is allotted for me. I am Mr. Rahu. I have the right to cover the sun at this time and cause an eclipse. But then I see another Rahu going towards the sun. So have you given my post to anyone else? What's happening here?" At that time when Indra heard this, he was totally confused. He didn't understand a word what Rahu was trying to tell him. And actually he was in awe when he heard this report. So immediately he sprang up from his seat and at once he mounted on his elephant Airavata. And keeping Rahu in front of him, he started proceeding towards the sun to see who had come to swallow the sun. So meanwhile, what happened was, as they were going there, Rahu was in the front of Indra, right? But Rahu was very, very angry. He was so agitated. So leaving Indra behind, Rahu started off in full speed and he flew like a huge peak of mountain near the spot where Hanuman was trying to get to the sun. So now, as Rahu was approaching, you know, Hanuman and the sun like this, Hanuman's attention got diverted. So this baby, this little Hanuman, he saw another new flying fruit. So he thought Rahu is another fruit. And very innocently, he left the old fruit, which is the sun, and he began to run behind this new flying fruit. So Hanuman was thinking that this fruit is even more interesting. It's in motion. It's like a rolling ball. So this was Rahu and he wanted to go and catch Rahu and eat up Rahu. So he began chasing Rahu. Now Rahu was super, super terrified. He ran away for his life shouting out to Indra to help. And he went running to Indra and he told him, "Indra, Indra, please save me. Please save me." So when Rahu went to Indra, Indra said, okay, don't worry, Rahu, I will protect you. I see what's happening, I will protect you. So Indra marched forward. Now, Hanuman, he now saw Indra riding on Airavata and coming towards him. So Hanuman was first excited because he saw a nice red colored fruit. Then he saw a moving fruit who was trying to come in front of the sun. And now he saw an elephant fruit. He saw Airavata, and Hanuman, with his childlike innocence, he thought, wow, this is a huge fruit and this is the best fruit I should be eating. So he went behind Airavata trying to catch Airavata. Now seeing Hanuman rushing towards Airavata, Indra immediately took out his thunderbolt and he hurled it at little Hanuman. Now hit by this thunderbolt, Hanuman came crashing down on earth onto a mountain and he fell unconscious and totally confused. And the left side of his jaw was broken because of the impact of Indra's weapon, and therefore he came to be known as Hanuman. Hanuman means one whose jaw is actually broken. That is the name of Hanuman. So anyway, seeing his little son like this injured and fallen down, Vayudeva appeared there and he was so angry. He was so angry that his child, his little baby was hurt, that he withdrew his power of air. All the Vayus, he withdrew all of them. Now, we all know prana is one. That is when we inhale, prana is one. But as we inhale, prana assumes five forms. Prana, apana, samana, udana, dhyana. This is there in one of the purports of Srimad in Bhagavad Gita of Srila Prabhupada. I believe in the sixth chapter, if I'm not wrong, but it's there in his purpose. So he talks about this. He talks about the five forms of prana. So all these five forms of prana, they function within the body of living entities. So when we inhale the air functions in different directions and it performs different actions. So the five classifications of the air that we take in our body is described here. Now when Vayudev withdrew the air, what happened was all the air in the body of the living entity stopped functioning. He was very, very angry. So he just withdrew his powers and he took his son and he entered with him into a cave. Now when he did that, when Vayu withdrew, everyone felt totally choked up. They couldn't breathe. Their joints became very stiff because you need air within the body for the movement of the joints. So that's why they say when you have arthritis, it's very difficult to move your joints. That means the air within your body is not functioning properly. And their joints became stiff. They were not able to pass out any waste from their bodies because you need the air of apana to send out the waste from your body. That air moves downwards. So like that, everything was blocked. They couldn't do anything. Their joints became stiff. They felt totally choked. They were not able to pass out any waste. Everyone was so miserable. It was affecting all the living entities. And at that time, all the demigods who were seeing this, they hurried to Brahma and they told Brahma about the very pitiable condition in which they were, in which all the living entities were. And Brahma, he understood the problem, and on his part, he immediately left for the place where Vayudev was in the cave. So Brahma entered the cave and he saw Vayudev was very, very upset. Vayu, seeing Brahma, paid his obeisances, and then Brahma saw Hanuman in the arms of Vayudev. So lovingly, he went towards Hanuman and he stroked the head of little Hanuman. And immediately, Hanuman came back to full life. Just like how a crop that has almost dried out without any rain suddenly comes back to life when it is watered. Like that, Hanuman came back to life. So seeing that his son was back in full life, Vayudev again began circulating himself internally within all living entities, and there was a big relief in the universe. So Brahma, he then requested all the demigods who had come there to confer blessings on this little child. And he told them that this little child will help them in the future to destroy their enemy by killing Ravana. Because Ravana was the enemy of all the demigods. So therefore, Brahma requested all the demigods to come forward and confer blessings on the little child, Hanuman. So at that time, all the demigods, they went forward to bless this little child. Indra placed a garland of lotuses on him and blessed this child and said, since my thunderbolt actually broke his chin, hereafter he'll be known as Hanuman. And my thunderbolt can never harm him any after. Then the sun god came and he told him, this child will obtain 100 part of my brilliance. And when time comes, I will become his guru and I will teach him all the shastras. He will become very learned and no one can match him in his speech or his knowledge of scriptures. Then Varuna blessed him, saying that he will not have death in my waters or my noose will never harm him. Yamaraj came forward and he said, this boy will have a very, very long life and my danda of punishment will never harm him. He'll be completely free of diseases. Then Kubera said, my mace will not affect him and he will never become tired in the battlefield. We all know the battle of Ram-Ravana where Hanuman was never ever tired. So this was a boon that was given to him. Then Lord Shiva said he'll be immune from death by me and my weapons. Similarly, Vishwakarma also said he will also have a very long life and he'll be immune from my weapons. Like that, all the demigods came and they gave some beautiful blessings to Hanuman. And hence, that's why Prahlad says in the statement that Hanuman was completely immune to any disease or old age, and he was very, very powerful, and he served Lord Ramachandra so beautifully because he was blessed like this by so many demigods. And even Brahma blessed him. Brahma blessed him with a very long life and said that he will be immune to the weapon of Brahma, which is the Brahmastra. He'll be able to change his form at will, and he'll be able to go to all the places at the speed of light. His movements will never be impeded and he will be a crucial instrument in pleasing Lord Ram and killing Ravana. So that's why we see even the Brahmastra didn't have any effect on Hanuman during the war, and Hanuman was able to change his form at his will and he would go to all the places at the speed of light. So many benedictions by all these demigods. So like that, Prahlad said, Hanuman is very special. He's got so many benedictions from all the demigods. Then Prahlad said, Hanuman not only received so many benedictions, but also he's actually very free from all fear. He doesn't get scared and he maintains very good, strong vows. He maintains great vows and he performs all kinds of auspicious deeds. And he is an outstanding hero and he's an exceptional servant of the Lord. So, among all the vows that Hanuman has taken, the greatest of his vows is a strict celibacy. He was a very, very strict brahmachari. Actually, we see in the Valmiki Ramayana that Sugriva took a very long break during the rainy season. He took a very long break during the rainy season. And he did not make any preparations for the search of Sita. Actually, when Ram went and requested help from Sugriva, at that time Sugriva promised to help. But then the rainy season had come and he didn't make, he took a long break. And after the break was over also, he didn't take efforts to make preparations for the search of Sita. So at that time, Lakshmana got very angry with Sugriva and he went to warn Sugriva, who was spending all his time in sensual pleasures. So at that time, Tara stepped out and she told Lakshmana that the Vanaras in general are very prone to sense gratification. You know, monkeys are prone to sense gratification. Everyone knows that. It is very, very difficult for them to take away their mind from such desires. And it is only natural for them to indulge in sensual pleasures. So Sugriva was enjoying sense gratification. But then Tara said, you know, now he will get ready. He will come and he will search for Sita. Okay, that was the situation of the Vanaras. But then we see Hanuman, in spite of his bodily condition, he was very determined and he was a celibate. He never ever, we don't hear of Hanuman, you know, indulging in family life or something like that. He was a celibate brahmachari. So not only did he take very strict celibate vows, his auspicious deeds include that he thoroughly studied all the Vedic literatures and he acquired very good skills as a poet. So whom did Hanuman study under? Hanuman learned scriptures from his guru, who was Suryadev. Remember, Surya gave this benediction to him. So Suryadev, according to the Srimad Bhagavatam, 5th canto, he is always moving. This is described in the 21st chapter of the 5th canto. Surya is always moving. He moves on the Manasotara mountain on a golden chariot which has just one wheel, and he's pulled by 7 horses who are named after the different Sanskrit metrical patterns, chandas, like Gayatri, Anushtup, Trishup, Pankti. All these are the name of the horses of Suryadev. And his charioteer is Aruna. So, Surya is always moving. And staying in front of the sun god and offering prayers are 60,000 sages known as Valakilyas. They are the size of a thumb and they are constantly offering prayers. And there are 14 Gandharvas, Apsaras and other demigods who are divided into 7 parties, and they perform ritualistic activities every month and they worship the super soul through the sun god according to different names. So this is the description of how Surya is situated and how he's constantly moving and how he's always accompanied by a huge entourage. Okay? So now Surya is moving. When Hanuman desired to learn from the sun god told him, I can teach you. I can teach you, but I have to constantly move. I cannot stay in one place. So how will you learn? So at that time, Hanuman told the sun god that he will face Suryadev and he will keep moving backwards and learn from him. So Surya accepted Hanuman as his disciple and he was an exceptional student. Hanuman was simply exceptional. He learned everything perfectly from Suryadev. And because of that, because of his trainings that he received from Suryadev, Hanuman became an expert in all scriptures, and in fact he was celebrated as Navavyakarana Pandita. That means an expert in all 9 forms of grammar in Sanskrit. He was a perfect pandit, he was a perfect poet, and he was a very fine grammarian. He knew everything. So in fact, Lord Ramachandra himself acknowledged that and praised him for this. So there is a very beautiful pastime that describes this expertise of Hanuman and how Lord Ram was impressed listening to Hanuman. So during the very first meeting of Lord Ram and Hanuman, this meeting was actually very, very special, and it's described very beautifully in the Ramayana. So we see that in that pastime that Lord Ram himself was totally amazed by the perfection in the speaking skills that Hanuman had possessed. The first meeting of Hanuman and Ram is very interesting. We all know Lord Ramachandra was banished to the forest and eventually Sita Devi was kidnapped by Ravana. So at that time, Ram and Lakshman, they went towards the southern direction trying to find Sita. And after meeting Shabari in Matanga Rishi Ashram, they headed towards the Rishyamukha Parvat to find Sugriva. So at that time, Sugriva along with Hanuman and few of his other personal associates, they were living in Rishyamukha Parvat in fear of Vali. Vali was the brother of Sugriva. So they were actually banned from entering the kingdom. So they were living outside and they were specifically living in this place called as Rishyamukha Parvat, where Vali wouldn't come. There are a lot of stories around it. We'll not get into it. But anyway, we'll just see that Sugriva was living with Hanuman and a few of his associates in Rishyamukha. So when Lord Ram and Lakshman were going towards this mountain to find Sugriva and develop friendship with him, that time what happened was Sugriva noticed that two humans were approaching Rishyamukha Parvat. So seeing that, Sugriva got scared. He said, he called Hanuman and he told Hanuman, I see two people. These two people have long, lengthy arms. They have broad, beautiful eyes. And they appear to be carrying bows and arrows and swords. They look like the sons of some gods. So I'm very, very scared. I presume that these two people are sent by Vali to assault me. I believe that's why they have come here. Vali has so many friends. He has sent some of his allies. And I somehow think these are his allies and trusting them is not good. So Sugriva was in constant fear of Vali. And Sugriva told Hanuman, please go in disguise. Don't go like this. You go in disguise, go and talk to them and find out who they are and what their intentions are. And if you get any indications that they were sent by Vali, immediately turn towards me and give me a signal. I will get alert. I will run. So this is what Sugriva told Hanuman. So ordered like this by Sugriva, Hanuman made up his mind to go there. So Hanuman, he then jumped off from the mountain of Rishyamukha and casting off his monkey-like appearance, Hanuman dressed up like a renunciant, like a mendicant. It says bhikshu, that means he's like a mendicant. So he dressed up like that and he went towards Ram and Lakshman who were actually walking towards Rishyamukha. Now Sugriva thought that nobody will tell a lie to an ascetic, like a mendicant. Who's going to lie to a mendicant if he's coming like that? One Brahmin, old mendicant has come. Who will go and lie to him? So that's the thought that Sugriva had. So Sugriva specifically told Hanuman to dress up like that, to take that form, so that he could get maximum information from the two brothers. So he asked Hanuman to change his form. So like that, Hanuman changed his form and he walked towards Ram and Lakshman and his heart, as he was walking towards Ram and Lakshman, became more and more and more heavy in the love that he had for Ram and Lakshman as he was seeing them. Then Hanuman neared Ram and Lakshman and instantaneously, when he saw them close, he just paid obeisances and in a very sweet and pleasing voice, he began to speak. So he greeted them and he praised the two brothers. This is where, you know, he exhibited his skills of speech. So he began telling them, you two look so beautiful. You look like kingly saints. You have beautiful bodies and perfect complexions. How come you have arrived at this countryside? You are scaring all the herds of animals and all the inhabitants in this forest. You both look so splendid. You're dressed like renunciants wearing tree barks, but you also have strong, mighty shoulders. So who are you? I see that you're wielding bows and you have arms like elephant trunks. You are broad-chested. You have eyes like lotus petals. What brings you here? So like this Hanuman, who was in disguise, went on and on and on praising them for their beauty and their looks and their presence, and he asked them their identity. So like this, when Hanuman was talking, Ram and Lakshmana, they were remaining silent. They were just watching him. And Hanuman, after a point in time, he was so vexed with their silence and he didn't know what to do. So far he had been talking all flattering words and all the sentences, the way he spoke, everything was actually drawn from scriptures. That is, he quoted, you know, it says that he quoted from scriptures like Lakshana Shastra that talk about the form and the beauty of great kings, great emperors. So like that, very, very nicely, in a very poetic way, he was describing the beauty of Ram and Lakshman. Like this, when he was talking in length, the other two listeners, Ram and Lakshman, they were not replying to anything that he was asking. They were just assessing him all the time. Because they were assessing him, because they were thinking, who is this? In the middle of this unpopulated thick forest, one random mendicant has come and he's talking at length, that too perfectly, without a single mistake, without a single grammar mistake or without a single mistake in sentence formation. And that too he's speaking all these choicest verses from scriptures. He's speaking perfect Sanskrit and his words are so poetic. So they were just observing him and they were totally perplexed. So they thought that this particular person who's questioning us is definitely not any mendicant or any sage. Because if he's a mendicant, why should he be roaming in deep forest? Rather, he should be in around some villages where he will get some charity, right? So, and another thing is generally, mendicants are usually silent, you know. They have given up everything. They are just going, they just go and sit in one place, and they generally don't talk to the public. Or they don't go by themselves and start conversation with others. They don't speak much. But then this particular person is speaking so much, so it appears that he's got some purpose behind. So Hanuman was actually almost pestering them. He wanted to know their identity. After every few sentences, he kept asking their identity. Who are you? You're so beautiful. Who are you? Why have you come here? Like that, he tried to ask so many questions. So he wanted to desperately know the identity of these intruders. So anyway, Ram and Lakshman, they were simply listening and they were looking at him and simply assessing him. Then Hanuman said, I've been talking to you all this time. But why are you both not speaking anything? Why are you both not speaking anything? And Hanuman, he could no longer keep quiet and he immediately blurted out. He said, there is one worthy Vanara by the name Sugriva. He has been rejected by his brother Vali and he is roaming around the world very sorrowfully. And Hanuman immediately said, Ragnya Vanara Mukhyanam Hanuman Nama Vanara. Delegated by that Sugriva, the king of monkeys, I have come here and my name is Hanuman and I am a Vanara. So he said, I am a Vanara, my name is Hanuman. Just think, he's gone in a dress that is like a mendicant. He's gone in disguise because he doesn't want to reveal his identity. But when he saw the Lord, he blurted out the truth. He didn't say, I am a mendicant, and he didn't say any lie. He just said, I am Hanuman, I am a Vanara, I am the minister of Sugriva who's been rejected by Vali. This is my identity. So he said that. So after all this effort of disguising himself, he goes and he introduces himself as a Vanara Hanuman. Why? Because when a devotee stands in front of the Supreme Lord, who is the Paramatma in all our hearts, who is the super soul who has gone everywhere within each and every atom, who is there within each and every living entity, and who is the very Lord of his heart, a devotee cannot lie. So Hanuman could no longer conceal himself. After speaking like this, all his eloquent, fine speech, he felt silent after introducing himself. So hearing these beautiful words of Hanuman, actually Lord Ram became very impressed. He looked at his brother Lakshman and told him, my dear brother, this minister of Sugriva, his speech is so fine, he's so eloquent, he's so scholarly. Even the knower of Rigveda, an expert in Yajurveda, a scholar of the Samaveda, cannot speak like the way he's speaking. His grammar is very good. He's learned everything very comprehensively. Not a single word he spoke was out of context. On his face, his eyes, his forehead, his eyebrows, all the faculties of expression on the face, if you observe it, there is no fault. Whatever he was speaking, the expressions were perfect. It was matching to his speech. He was speaking to the point without any hesitation, without any breaks, without any delay in the spacing of the words. The sentence formation was perfect. When he speaks, it's coming out from his chest and throat in a medium tone. He has orderly refinement in speech, and that is simply remarkable. He speaks without any incoherence, that is delay between words. And he speaks appropriately and he speaks words that are pleasing to the heart. His speech is generated in three places, the chest, the head and the throat. And it resonates so wonderfully. So beautiful is a speech that even an enemy's heart will melt if he listens to the speech of Hanuman. If a king has a minister like Hanuman, his mission will be easily accomplished. So this is how Lord Ramchandra praised Hanuman. So Hanuman was praised by the words of the Lord. Imagine, that's a very big thing. Hanuman was praised by the words of the Lord. The Lord himself personally praised him and endorsed him for his scholarship, his fine speech and his intellect. So that's why Prahlad says he had all these special qualities, Hanuman. Hanuman was an expert. He was an expert in his speech and his scholarship as well. And then his heroism. So Hanuman proved his heroism in the battle with Ravana. When he burned down Lanka before that, he proved his heroism. In fact, he was a hero in every sense of the word. A hero, according to Bharatamuni, he quotes, Danaviram, Dharmaviram, Yuddhaviram, Tataivacha, Rasamviram, Apipraha, Brahma Trividam, Evahi. This is given by Sanatana Goswami in his commentary. I'm saying it from the commentary. Lord Brahma has described three kinds of Veera of a hero. A hero in charity, a hero in religion, and a hero in battle. So a hero is actually not only a hero in the battle, but a hero, a true hero is a hero who's a hero in charity, who's a hero in religion, and who's also a hero in battle. And of course, there is also a mood of personal reciprocation called as Veera or heroism. And Hanuman was a hero in all respects. He was a hero in each and every sense of the word Veera can mean. So that was Hanuman. So praising his heroism, Prahlad said, I can tell you, you know, Hanuman was so capable. He jumped across the ocean so playfully, very jollily, you know, in a very jolly way. He just jumped across the ocean and very expertly he went and he consoled Sita Devi. Nobody can console Sita Devi like the way Hanuman did. He was an expert. He just spoke so beautifully and he relieved her from all the distress that she had. And remember, when Hanuman went and spoke to Sita Devi, it was a very crucial moment because Sita was about to commit suicide. That's when Hanuman actually spoke. So Prahlad remembers that. And Prahlad says, he exhibited his heroism when he jumped across the ocean and he exhibited his speaking skills when he consoled Sita Devi. So we'll see about Hanuman jumping across the ocean today. And then we may have to stop because this is a huge portion. So consoling Sita Devi we'll see in our next session. So anyway, we'll talk about Hanuman jumping the ocean. So Hanuman, we saw in his early childhood that he was a very mischievous kid and he had so many benedictions from all the demigods. So what happened was, Hanuman, as he was growing up after all these benedictions, he became extremely mischievous because he had so much strength. On the strength of all the benedictions that he had received from these demigods, his pranks were totally out of control. And it so happened that he was cursed by some of the sages that he would forget his powers until he was reminded about them. So in the Ramayana, when the Vanaras went in search of Sita, the group of Vanaras that went south, the southern group, there was Hanuman, there was Jambavan, there was Angada and others. So when the southern group was near the ocean, at that time they met with Sampati. Sampati was the brother of Jatayu. So this Sampati, he could see things at a distant place. So Sampati could visualize Sita as being in the island of Lanka. So when Sampati told this news to the Vanaras became very, very happy and they began discussing among themselves who would be the right person to cross the ocean and go and see Sita. So at that time, each Vanara was telling how much he can cross. But Jambavan, he reminded Hanuman about Hanuman's power. So till now, Hanuman didn't know about his power because he was cursed to forget it. But then Jambavan reminded Hanuman about his power, and after he was reminded, Hanuman agreed to jump across the ocean. So now all the Vanaras became very, very happy because Hanuman said, yes, I can jump the entire ocean and I can get back also. So all the Vanaras became extremely happy and Hanuman got ready to jump off from the Mahendragiri Parvat. So he swiftly climbed this rocky mountain and he reached its top. Hanuman took position and he prayed to the Lord, keeping Lord Ram in his heart. He chanted, Jai Shri Ram, and on your mark, get set, go. Hanuman flew high into the sky with great vigor. He looked like a rocket taking off. So like that, he flew up with full force, and as he was flying, all the plants, the rocks, the few branches that was around him, they all flew up with him for a distance to send him off. Just like how relatives would follow their loved ones when they are going on a journey, or like soldiers who would march after their chief. Like that, the flowers from the different trees were actually set in motion by the wind that came from the movement of Hanuman. So all these flowers rose up, they worshipped his lotus feet, and then they fell down into the ocean. And the entire ocean was decorated with these beautiful flowers that were just taken off from this Mahendragiri. And the whole ocean was looking like a sky filled with stars. So Hanuman also, while he took off like this into the clouds, his body was also decorated with all these beautiful flowers, and he was looking so beautiful in the sky. Hanuman spread out his arms wide, and his shadow that was seen in the ocean below, it looked like a huge boat that was traversing in the ocean. The shadow was almost 10 yojanas wide and 30 yojanas in length. It was so beautiful to look at. And Hanuman was very determined in his mission. He was very, you know, just like how Lord Ram's arrow never fails. Similarly, Hanuman was steadfast in his mission, and he was completely determined to be successful and somehow go and see Sita Devi. And while he was flying like this so beautifully with so much determination in his mind, he met demons on his way, and he outwitted them, and very easily he reached the city of Lanka. So Hanuman faced three obstacles. One obstacle was posed out of love by Mainaka. Mainaka was a mountain, you know, ocean mountain that rose up. Okay? So the first obstacle was posed out of love by Mainaka. The second obstacle was sent by demigods in the form of Surasa, the mother of the Nagas. And the third one was a big obstacle. It was a purposeful hindrance. Okay? So now we will see each of these. When the Mainaka mountain rose and requested Hanuman to rest, there was a mountain by the name Mainaka in the middle of the ocean. He rose and he requested Hanuman to rest because he wanted to favor Vayu's son. So he asked Hanuman to rest. At that time, Hanuman very politely, he refused, and he told Mainaka that he will accept the hospitality later because he was on a mission. So with a very grateful and respectful heart, Hanuman, what did he do? He touched the mountain with his hand as if accepting the mountain's hospitality, and with a smile, he flew up with great speed. So Hanuman at that time, he did not want to waste a single second. This is a very important lesson. Time is very, very precious. Even in today's early morning class, they were talking about Kala, time. So it is very, very precious. Even one moment lost cannot be got back. Time is very precious. He was engaging his time in the service of the Lord, and the best, and he wanted to make the best use of time. So he didn't want to waste a second, you know, taking hospitality and wasting his time by enjoying the comforts in Mainaka. So he was a perfection of the mood of Dasirasa. Srila Prabhupada and all the Goswamis, we all hear about them. They hardly slept because they were so enthusiastic to serve the Lord. They didn't want to waste a little moment. So this is how Hanuman was. Then the next obstacle was an obstacle of, the other thing that I wanted to mention about Mainaka is that this obstacle that Mainaka posed was an obstacle of love. Right, it was an obstacle of love. A loved one is actually facing is posing an obstacle to you, but his intention is not to obstruct you in any way, but he's just offering his love in a way that we feel it's an obstacle, right? So that was the situation in which Hanuman was. But how did Hanuman handle it? He handled it in a mood of love and respect. He won over Mainaka with his love and respect. Very respectfully, he explained to Mainaka, he touched him with respect. He said, I'll touch this mountain peak as an acceptance of your invitation. And he said, he will come back. So like that, when we see an obstacle that is being posed by a loved one, we win over that obstacle with our love and respect that we show back to that person. So next, Hanuman flew. He went even further. And as he went further, what happened was Surasa rose up from the ocean. Now this Surasa was the mother of the Nagas. And she appeared in front of Hanuman as she was sent by the demigods to test Hanuman. So she came from the ocean and she appeared in front of Hanuman and she told Hanuman, I'm going to eat you for lunch. She said, the demigods have given you as my food and you cannot go further without entering into my mouth. But Hanuman outwitted her. She opened her mouth and she grew into a huge size. Her mouth grew into a huge size. And Hanuman also grew into a huge size. She was growing, Hanuman was growing. She was growing, Hanuman was growing. She grew 10 yojanas, Hanuman grew 10 yojanas. She went 30, Hanuman went 40. Like that, they went on and on and on. And suddenly, Surasa's mouth was so wide open, suddenly Hanuman took a tiny form and he entered into her mouth and he came out. He said, you told me I must enter your mouth. I entered your mouth and I've come out, so now I will go. Surasa was sent by the demigods, right? And Surasa, she started laughing and she said, you're very, very smart. Okay, this was a test by demigods and now you can go. So when there is an obstacle posed because of demigods, we win it over with our dedication and steadfastness that we have in the task before us and the intelligence that the Lord has given us. So we must remember, we must be steadfast and dedicated in the task that we have in Krishna consciousness. We have this task. So we should use our intelligence when there is an obstacle that is posed by the power of demigods. And there is something that is not in our control, you know, that is sent by demigods. At that time, what should be done? We should use our intelligence like Hanuman. And we should be very steadfast in our goal. We should remember what our ultimate goal is. We should not get diverted. We should not get upset. We should not sit down thinking this is not possible. Use your intelligence and win it over with the dedication that you have with the goal in your mind. So there is another thing also that is explained by Acharya. These are all commentaries by our Acharya. So I'm just talking from that. There is another thing that our Guru Vargas talk about. See, this is very interesting. Hanuman became very big and then he became very small, right? So first he was competing with Surasa. Surasa opened her mouth, Hanuman also became big. Like that it went on and suddenly Hanuman became very small. He went inside and he came out. So this shows that when we humble ourselves, we can actually overcome obstacles. So mayas like that Surasa, she's always testing us, but we cannot grow and inflate our ego. If we keep doing that, we cannot handle maya like that. We cannot outwit maya like that. You know, keep inflating our ego, we will not be able to win over maya. So trying to resist this power of maya is like swimming across an ocean that is there without a shore. Anger, envy, greed, all these are not easy to overcome. But if we become humble and take the shelter of the Lord, understand the devotional circles is our focus, take the Lord's shelter, then by the grace of the Lord, everything becomes easy. By the grace of the Lord, this huge ocean actually reduces to the size of a hoofprint of a calf. So that's why Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu insists on this principle of Krishna consciousness as Trinadapi Sunichena. That is the secret formula of success. So we can learn this from the experience that Hanuman had. He was also growing and growing and suddenly he became small. He realized there's no point. Let me become small, go inside, come back. Similarly, that's how we handle things. We don't increase our ego. Rather, we become humble, then everything becomes easy. Success in Krishna consciousness becomes easy. So Hanuman reduced to this tiny size. He entered into her mouth and he won over her because of his intelligence and humility. He was not afraid. Actually, humility is a great strength. If someone is humble, it doesn't mean that they are weak. Raghunath Maharaj says, humility empowers us with the grace of the Lord. So humility is a big strength. Then Hanuman, after he won over Surasa, he got back flying in his path. And suddenly, as he was flying, at one point, he couldn't move. He was stuck. There was a demoness by the name Simhika, who saw this flying Hanuman and she caught him. She caught him with his shadow. She was actually a shadow puller. There is a siddhi with which you can catch an object by its shadow. So Simhika had this siddhi. What she did was, when Hanuman was flying, she caught him. It's called a chayagraha. So she caught Hanuman by his shadow. So she thought, after a very long time, I got a very good meal. So thinking like that, Simhika caught on to the shadow of Hanuman and she started pulling him down. Now Hanuman, feeling that he was pulled down, he was totally confused. He was looking in all directions. He was looking sideways. He was looking upside. He was looking downwards. He was seeing everywhere and he couldn't understand what was happening. Then he saw a big animal-like demon who was rising up in the salty ocean. And Hanuman recognized her because Sugriva had told him about her in the past. So Hanuman recognized her correctly as Simhika. And to win over her, what did he do? He increased the bodily size. He began to increase his size as Simhika began spreading out her mouth wide. So Simhika spread out her mouth wide. She was roaring, you know, like a huge animal. And she was running towards Hanuman to catch him. But then Hanuman saw her big mouth, which was equal to his body, and praying to Lord Sri Ram with complete surrender, Hanuman, whose body is like so nice and it's like a diamond, Hanuman's body is so strong, this strong body, he contracted it and fell into her mouth and went inside her body. He went inside her body and offering prayers to the Lord in complete surrender, Hanuman, with the strength that was given to him by the Lord, he tore her internal organs with his sharp nails. And then after she was fallen dead, he flew up again with great speed. So Simhika was trying to capture Hanuman by catching on to his shadow. This represents our egoistic tendencies to find fault with others, even with great personalities. What to speak of people who have faults. Even with great personalities, we try to find faults. So grabbing to the dark side of the shadow, that is no good. Fault finding is no good. What are we trying to do? We are trying to catch on to the dark side, which is the shadow. That is actually condemnable. So a doctor, he dislikes the disease, but not the person. And a doctor who's like an elevated soul, they try to cure the disease. We may not be able to cure someone's disease. But we should not indulge in fault finding, trying to prove to others that I am better than you and you are very fallen. So that is a symptom of bloated ego and it is not a symptom of devotee. So Hanuman offered his prayer to Lord Ram and he entered the body and with the mercy of Lord Ram, he tore apart her body and he flew up. So when we face a real detrimental obstacle where, you know, your intelligence cannot do anything to you, nothing can do. That time what you do for things that is beyond our control, maybe because of our karma or because of something unseen, you just cannot do anything. That time we win over by our faith and surrender that we have in the Supreme Lord. So at this time, Hanuman was completely surrendered. He said, Lord Ram, you just help me. So he went inside the body and he tore open with a sharp nail. So he just tore open the entire internal organs and he came out of her body and he flew. So like that, Hanuman flew up and finally he reached Lanka. So Hanuman, as he was about to land on the beautiful island of Lanka, he was seeing this wonderful island and he reduced his size to a very smaller size because the Rakshasas would get very alerted if they saw him in such a big size. So he reduced his size and he entered into the island of Lanka. So we will see what happened after that, how he further saw Lankini and then he ultimately got to see Sita Devi and talk to her. So we will see his speaking skills again with Sita Devi and then we'll move further to describe more of his heroism as described by Prahlad Maharaj. So thank you very much. Any questions or comments? Sorry, I went a little over time. Questions, comments, realizations, please go ahead. Hare Krishna.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Vidhi Vilasi, Mataji, Dhanvat Pranam. Thank you so much for such a beautiful class. So beautifully you narrated all the pastimes of Hanuman. So beautiful. Though you know some of the pastimes we already heard in your other seminar, but still it was so pleasing to the ear. Thank you. Thank you so much for all your efforts. Thank you.
Thank you, Kirtida Mataji.
One question, like you were telling about the heroism, right? Like, what are the qualities?
Mm.
And then you were telling one in the charity, one in the religion, and the hero in the battle.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what you quoted, right?
Yeah.
And then you also said in the mood of personal reciprocation. So what is, can you elaborate a little bit further?
Yeah, so that verse, if you... So that particular verse is, there in the commentary of Sanatan Goswami that he gives. So he quotes Bharata Muni, and Bharata Muni in his work, he says that there are three kinds of heroism. So the hero in charity, hero in religion, and hero in battle. And then Veera can mean hero in three aspects. Veera can also mean Veera Rasa, that is a mood of personal reciprocation called as Veera Rasa or heroism. That means like how Bhishma Dev had this Veera Rasa, right? Yeah, that is what the statement
is. So Veera here refers also to the Rasa, right?
Rasa.
Secondary Rasa that we can have with the Supreme Lord.
Exactly, yes.
Yeah, now I got it. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much.
Hare Krishna Mataji, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Was there somebody else going to say something?
Go ahead, Mataji.
I was just thinking, so many thoughts were rushing in my head as you were speaking. It was the first thing I thought of when you were speaking about Hanuman getting his boons or getting his benedictions. And I was thinking, contrast that and how empowering it was for him. Mm-hmm. And then you think of Ravana and everybody else getting all these benedictions and how, what is it, useless, ultimately they were for them, you know. So, and he didn't ask for these, you know, these were given to him freely. So, and the others they asked for these things. So it just sees how, you know, Krishna gives you what you need at the time you need it. You don't need to ask. It's just a thought that popped into my mind, you know. I don't know
how beautiful.
But it was just thinking. And also I was thinking of, you know, they say that Ramayana is, you know, Navarasa, and it has so many lessons, you know, about how to be a good king, how to rule, you know, all this stuff. But then, just thinking about, you know, Hanuman, the two episodes that I was hoping you'd speak about was Hanuman and the way he spoke, and also Surya, his getting instruction by Surya Dev, and you touched on both of those, and it was just so exciting. Like Kirti Sundari Mataji says, how many times have we heard this Ramayana, and it still just excites us. We're just so enthralled with the whole story that, you know, only the stories of the Supreme Lord can be this enthralling, that we can read it over and over and listen to it over and over again. And one other thought I was thinking, oh, Krishna, I lost it. I'll let somebody else go. If I think of it, I'll tell you. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you. How nicely said. That's so true, Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you, as usual. Thanks for sharing these realizations. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Mataji.
I know this voice. Shastra Prabhu, how are you?
I'm good. Such nice class. I'm convinced you're an amazing devotee, but I didn't get to hear your realizations before this, so it was such a treat. I was not feeling well, but after your class, I'm ready to go on books now.
Hari Bol. Prabhu, thank you for blessing us, Prabhu, with your presence. It means a lot. Thank you for coming.
Yeah, my pleasure. That was such a treat. Like the other Mataji said, you know, Ramayana is everyone's all-time favorite, especially Hanuman growing up in our, you know, childhood. We heard so many stories. Now it's all like refreshed from your class. So thank you. All glories to your services.
Thank you. Very, very indebted to you, Prabhu. Thank you for coming on the call. Thank you.
Jai.
Thank you, Prabhu. And take care.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Bhakti Vilasini Gopi, Dandvat Pranam, Koti Koti Dandvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev. Mataji, when we hear your kathas, that style, that tone, Mataji, exactly like Grandma is teaching us, Mataji. That time we are asking so many questions. How can son solo by the little Hanumanji, too hot, Ma, Grandma, you talk this story and that story, and we argue with my Ma, Grandma, and here, we hear so many times, Mataji, in our childhood, but still we learn more and more from the devotees. Thank you very much, Vilasini Gopi. I know you prepare it from long, maybe 2, 3, 4, 5 weeks for us. And how depressed we are that not hearing second time. But honestly now, hear very attentively and explain to my two kids and other Vaishnav also. Dandavat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai, Hare Krishna. Shashank Prabhu, Dandavat Pranam, Hare Krishna. Dandavat Pranam to all Vaishnava. Hare Bol, thank you, Mataji, thank you.
Thank you, Vrinda Gopika Mataji. Your sweet listening. Sweeter. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you for coming. Anyone else has any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, such a nectarian class, Mataji. Yeah. Oh, I don't want to stop this class, it should go on. Such a nectar, Mataji. Ramayana itself is such a sweet epic, but as all devotees, other devotees are saying, how many times you hear to that, but no, you can't stop listening to the nectar. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Mataji, who's this? Is this?
This is Aruna, Mataji.
Aruna.
Kitida Sundari, Mataji, last week.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for coming, Mataji.
Yes, Mataji. I just have one quick question, if you don't mind. While invoking mantras, in the beginning you said, Srimati Radhanada Swami Maharaj. So, Mataji, can you please explain why do you say Srimati Radhanada Maharaj? That is because, you know, Krishna is the only Purusha and rest of us are considered as feminine gender, or I'm missing something, Mataji. Please throw some light on me. Do you understand?
I'm understanding your question. Your question is why when you say your guru's name or any of the guru's name, you use Srimat, right?
Yes.
So it's not Srimati, it is Srimate.
Okay. I heard it like
Srimati,
then
Srimate.
Okay.
Srimate. Similarly, when we say Saraswati Devi, that is son of Saraswati Deva, becomes Saraswati Devi. So, of course, when we say it fast, everything sounds, sounds like we're offering respect to Saraswati Devi. But that's not correct.
Okay, Mataji. Thank you so much for clarifying.
Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Gopi. With your permission, I want to add the point that Srila Prabhupada, Aruna Mataji, Srila Prabhupada, when we are saying Namo Vishnupada Krishna Prasthaya Buddha Samadhi Bhakti Vedanta Swami Iti Namine, then Srila Prabhupada, then Namo Vishnupada Krishna Prasthaya Buddha Samadhi Radhanath Maharaj Iti Namine, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev, our Guru Parampara, Srimati Radharani, Srimati Sitarani, when the devotee are preaching any point, if it is Srishti Bhagavatam or Srishti Chaitarachanam or Srishti Bhagavad Gita, when they preach, they are dancing in our tongue, Mataji. And because they all, whether it's Priti Vilasini Gopi or Adhikadada Das or any senior Vaishnava or any senior Brahmachari, they all are so pure soul, Mataji. Because of their sadhana, we feel that Leela, Mataji. We are not qualified, but really, you feel today that we feel that Leela, that this is going on in Ramayana. So that much sincerity in their japa and in their
prayers, and that's why we feel that Leela, and we pray to Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev and Guru Parampara that please, today we are going to do this pastime of Sisi Ramayana Bhagavatam, please help me whenever I make mistake. So this is the meaning, Hare Krishna Danvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai.
Thank you, Ananda Gopika Mataji, thanks for explaining. Thank you so much. All glories to Guru Maharaj. Of course, we don't have any qualification, and it's entirely Guru Maharaj who speaks, and we are just instruments. So thank you, Mataji. Thank you for your very nice additions on the power of the Guru Parampara. Thank you, Mataji.
That is
Hare Krishna, Preeti.
I know that you are working hard day by day, more than 2-3 months for one class. But I just explained from the Shastra, Mataji. Dandvat Hari
Bol. Perfect, Mataji. Thank you so much. Thank you for explaining that is the truth. Thank you.
Hare Krishna, Preeti Vilasini, Mataji. Thank you. It was really very nectarian, especially when you were talking about the pastimes of Hanuman crossing the ocean. I was just thinking, although I have heard it before, but it was so pleasing to hear it from you, and especially the explanation of how the three obstacles relate to us in our devotional life. So just wanted a little bit of clarification, as I don't remember completely. The first one refers to when we have Maimaka Parvata, it refers to when we have luxuries. We avoid luxuries to go on, to carry forward our devotional service, to avoid material comforts, and to go beyond our comfort zone and to
mm-hmm.
do more. So that was the first thing that relates to our devotional life, right? The Maimaka mm-hmm. Parvata.
Yes, that also, yeah, that. And then, of course, we don't waste time on those things. And then what else, how we deal with people who show us love, but then that love is actually an obstacle, like it's hindering us, but we have to respect yeah. their love, yeah.
Thank you, Mataji, that was a beautiful point as well. And then the second one, of course, it refers to when Maya poses us a lot of challenges, mm-hmm. we become humble. And the third one, it refers to what the Simhika, right?
So Simhika was catching on to the shadow, so we should not catch on to the and criticize devotees, you know, looking at their faults. It's not a healthy thing, you know, in our devotional service. Like rather we should actually these are all from Maharaj's class, so I've just copy pasted everything. That is one aspect of the thing. And the other aspect is that you should always win over a certain situation which you cannot handle by yourself, you know. Like for example, see in the first case, it was a sign of love and respect, and he spoke nicely with love, and he was able to manage the situation with Mainaka. In the case of the second one, what happened was Surasa, he had the intelligence at that time, intelligence and humility. He showed intelligence and humility, and he shrunk himself and he went inside and came out immediately. So that is a sign of, you know, intelligence. But the third one, what happened was, when he saw that he really didn't know what to do when she was catching him like that and opening, and her mouth was so big, as big as the size actually, and he didn't know what to do. He didn't know whether he could enter and then come out so fast. It was a situation, it was a problem actually. So like that, when we are into certain situations where the problem is beyond our control, at that time, maybe because of our past karma, whatever. So at that time, you humbly surrender to the Lord, and the Lord will help you out. You know, it's like that. Humbly surrender to the Lord. So he went inside her. Actually, he went inside the body, and then by the mercy of the Lord, he ripped her apart and he came out.
Okay, very nice, Mataji. So there are realizations from both ends, from what Simhika did, and also from what Hanuman reacted from that incident, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And also, remembering when you were saying this, that Lord Krishna, he says in the Srimad Bhagavatam that when we go through a lot of challenging situations, just tolerating it and trusting in Krishna and to surrender him is the best way to, you know, show our...
Yes. So nice. Yes, Mataji. Yeah.
Thank you, Sarojanandini Mataji. Thanks for your additions.
Sarojini Mataji and Pitilashini Gopi, I want to add one more sentence, one more point by Gurudev. That when more and more difficulties came in our life, we become more and more strong in a bhakti, our sadhana, we read sadhu, we get strong association of sadhu sangha. Srila Prabhupada Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. So Jai. Take it positively when the obstacles came in our life. So that's why we become more and more sincere, like Kunti Maharani. Example is Kunti Maharani, Draupadi Rani, Subhadra Rani, Sita Rani, Radha Rani.
So nice, yeah. We get more devotee association. True, Mataji. Thank you.
Mataji, Dhanvatana.
Yes, Mataji.
All blessings to Prabhupada, all blessings to Guru Maharaj. Mataji, all these classes are so simple to understand, and yet this philosophy is so clearly understood that I really want to like have my kids listen this, because they give them that understanding and have that inclination to read the scriptures more. So I'm really grateful for you that you found some time and so much of description, and the way you were explaining it, it was like we were like small kids sitting in front of you and listening to it. It was amazing, Mataji. Thank you so much.
Hari Bol, Sita Priti Mataji. All glories to Guru Maharaj and all glories to Sanatan Goswami's works. Thank you, Mataji.
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini Mataji, Dandottarama
Gurukshira Prabhupada.
Very beautiful class, Mataji. Very amazing. Nice stories. Very nicely narrated.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Mataji. Thank you so much for coming. Thank you so much for giving your very precious association to us. Thank you, Mataji. Shama Gauri Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Priti Vilasini.
Hey,
go ahead. I just two more points that I was remembering that I wanted to comment. Yes. One was that you know, when you were speaking how Mainaka was giving him, you know, love, and then he said when you're going on some kind of a service, or when you have a mission, then you should not be delayed. And it was just showing in contrast to Sugriva, who was delaying when he was given a mission, whereas Hanuman did not delay. So it just shows a nice contrast between, they're both kind of vanaras, right? But you can't blame, well, it's just this body that I'm in, that's why it's making me do this. No, you have a choice. You have a choice, you know, with your free will. You have a choice. Are you going to do this and stay focused on your mission, or are you going to be distracted? So I really like that contrast. So many different lessons in the characters of Ramayana that are given. And The other thing, I just love Hanuman, and just thinking about Hanuman, and maybe I mentioned this, I can't even remember, but just talking about lessons, as far as if we need a lesson on how to be a good speaker, Hanuman is, right, you know,
yeah.
So that was it. Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Yeah, that's true. Hanuman is like a hero to take lessons from in all the aspects of devotional service, right? Yeah, what you said is very true. In so many things, we can take lessons from Hanuman. Thank you, Mataji. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you, Panishwari Mataji, for beautiful realization. Mm-hmm. You always share, but so nice of you. Yeah, I was just telling on the lighter note, you know, to Priti Vilasini Mataji, that as per the material age is concerned, she's so young, right? But definitely as per Krishna consciousness, she is much more senior than all of us. But as per material age, she is so young, and everybody has characterized her as grandma. So I just want to learn, listen from her how she is feeling after being a grandma.
That's so sweet. Actually, I love it. I become so happy when she's
everybody, yeah, everybody was saying, oh, we were just listening like small kids and you're just like a grandma.
So sweet. Yeah, Mataji, I feel good to be grandma.
Yeah, and that's all the details that she had in the beginning of everything. There's so many details, and although we know it, to give a brief explanation of how the situation is and where we are in context, so that takes a lot of patience and a lot of details to explain all that to make us comfortable in the situation.
Yes, very true, Sarojanandani. Actually, storytelling is an art.
It is an art. It's an art. Yes, we're giving her this. Yeah, it's an honorary title of love that we've given you.
Oh, how sweet. Thank you, Sarojanandani. Thank you, Panishwari Mataji and Sitida Sundari Mataji.
But don't go on the, literal meaning of grandma. We don't mean to say that you're that old lady.
Yeah, and also, I should not put you to sleep, grandma. Yeah.
Seriously.
It's a very nice title, Mataji. Thank you. I like it. And all glories to Guru Maharaj for making me grandma because of his. I don't know. When I hear some class, I like to imbibe the mood of the speaker. So sometimes when I have Guru Maharaj's classes, I feel like the storytelling and the intricate details and the sound effects and all that, it kind of puts me in that mood, and then I'm like, okay, let me try to follow like him. Of course, I hope and I will not also imitate him, but then it's more like following. So.
Yes, Mataji, so you cannot put us to sleep because there's so much of excitement in your voice.
And Mataji, the tone is very nicely, you explained the tone. You totally involve in the story and we also involve. Mataji, how nicely you one by one, you point, cover the point, Mataji. Very bold. Please forgive me for giving a title to grandma. Please forgive me.
No forgiveness and all, Mataji. Thank you, Mataji.
No problem. Hi, Krishna Mataji. As everyone is saying, there were so many lessons in the story, as usual. But I was just wondering if there were any particular lessons that you were more interested in that we come away with, that you want to make sure that we don't lose in the story.
In the story, the lesson that I like the most is when Guru Maharaj was explaining about the inflated ego and how humility is actually strength, and it's not something to think that you're a loser if you're humble, because humility attracts the grace of Krishna. So that is something that I thought is very instructive, and I really like the way he explained that with the Surasa story. So I think that was the best lesson that I got from this.
Okay, yeah, actually, that's the one that stuck out in my mind also.
Yeah, the inflated ego, especially how you deal with Maya. You see, Maya is like, okay, I'll get bigger. That doesn't work. But then when you humble yourself, everything becomes easy in devotional service. Obstacles in devotional service are easier to handle. So I thought that was very, very deep, that realization that he said was extremely deep.
And I guess the reason why that's true is because when you're humble, that means you are relying on Krishna. The strength of Krishna, but when you're proud, then the strength that you have is whatever you get by karma only, not beyond that.
Yes, uh-huh. You can do only so much that you can do, right? Like you can do only so much as you can do, but then when you rely on Krishna, you're empowered to do more.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you, Gaurangi Mataji. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Hi, Krishna.
One comment also, Preeti Virasa, along those lines.
Yes.
Are we? I was just thinking as you were speaking about the whole ego thing. You know, it's not only in spiritual life, but also in material life.
Yeah.
Controlling that inflated ego in all kinds of relationships also is beneficial in solving any kind of conflict.
Totally.
Instead of thinking I'm right, I'm going to do it, and I know what to do, you know. But you know, controlling our ego and then seeing things from the other's point of view.
Very true. Yeah. Very true. That solves most of the problems. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, of course, you're the relationship expert. You know.
Maybe, I don't know, but been through it is all I can tell you.
Thank you, Bataji.
I was just, when Bharanji Mataji asked this question, even, you know, just want to share what thinking came in my mind.
Yes.
Is that how Hanuman is an epitome of, you know, bhakti, servitorship, right?
Mm.
So that's the mood that, you know, we can also imbibe. Because every relationship we can have with Krishna, whether it's parental, whether it's saksha, whether it's conjugal, higher to higher relation, still have a mood of dasya in it.
Dasya.
When parents serve, they serve in a mood of serving, right? So that's the mood, you know, every relationship we can have with Krishna, this dasya relationship, this mood of servitorship is very much important. And that's what, you know, Hanuman is establishing it for all of us. So we should try to imbibe that mood.
Beautiful.
So just want to share that.
Yeah, that is the underlying mood of all the rasas anyway. So, yeah, very nice.
Exactly.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kritira Sundarji, Gaurangi Mataji, Kriti Rajni Gopi. Thank you very much for your association.
Thank you, Mataji. Anyone else has any comments, realizations, additions, corrections? Okay. So thank you all again for another beautiful session and most beautiful discussions. We'll end the call. So we'll continue with the story in our next session. We'll end the call. Vansha Kalpataru Vyashchak Prapasindu Vyayavacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrindh Ki Jai Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai Shri Brihad Bhagavatam Jata Ki Jai Srila Sanatan Goswami Ki Jai All Yori Sri Assembled Devotees Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Anantakoti Vaishnava.